we learned more than we had ever had known before about the league. And that's partly because we also include the Latino story in a more focused way. Several of the voting committee members were specialists on Latin America. And so whereas previously most people who studied the Negro Leagues just looked at the story of what occurred in the States, we followed them into winter ball in this story, and then we also followed them to Mexico and to Puerto Rico and to Cuba. And that allowed us to see a fuller picture of what life was like on the other side of the racial divide.
It has to be just overwhelming to go through pages and pages. I guess there was, what, how many years compiled of Negro League statistics that weren't there? How were you able to weed through and choose 39 players and executives?
Well, the statistical component of this study is 3,000 pages of day-by-day stats. That's every box score that we found from 1920 to 1950 of the Negro Leagues, both the American Negro American League and the Negro National League. We input it into the statistical database. That was a project that involved over 50 researchers across the country, and we scoured over 160 newspapers and included some publications from Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Dominican Republic to get at stories and box scores and line scores of the Negro Leagues. And it has been an awesome task of preparing. And actually, two of these men are still with us, those being Buck O'Neill and Minnie Minoso.
Two names that Chicago baseball fans are pretty familiar with.
Quite familiar. Buck O'Neill was the first African-American coach of a Major League Baseball team with the Chicago Cubs. And Minnie Minoso, as some people tend to forget, was the very first black Latino to play in the major leagues. And then he broke the color line for the Chicago White Sox. And in fact, part of the reason why he's on this ballot is in recognition that he was an integration pioneer and that this history of black baseball, it goes beyond just what occurred in the U.S. in terms of who's coming into the major leagues and who's coming out. And so we had long discussions about whether Minnie deserved to be on this ballot. And in the end, the argument that won was the history of black baseball is incomplete without talking about the Latinos who participated and all the integration pioneers who merited full recognition.
I formerly worked in Memphis, and one weekend met with some of these players. They had a ceremony and a weekend to honor some of them. What they kept saying is there were two major leagues. By no means was the baseball inferior to the major leagues. And I think research like yours is the first time that we're getting, more people are getting a chance to see that and realize what kind of statistics they were able to compile.
And in fact, you know, World War II, that era, some historians argue that the play that was going on in the Negro Leagues was on par or in some cases better than the Major Leagues. Because the Major Leagues, because at that point in time, the U.S. Army was still segregated, the Major Leagues were hit a lot harder with military service. About 50 or so Negro League players were drafted into the military or served in the military during World War II. On the other hand, several hundred, 200 to 300 Major League players, mind you, there's only 16 Major Leagues at this time, clubs. And so the Major Leagues were hit a lot harder. And because of segregation, in this instance, the play, the level of play in the Negro Leagues continued to rise. Again, that's because Negro League teams kept going to the Caribbean and pulling talent out of the Caribbean. So the play was extremely good.